Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello. Hello. Anyone around here speak basketball?
Paging Bobby Webster.
This is Adam Silver.
Hello, and welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks Basketball Podcast.
Sorry, I'm startled by your voice again.
I know.
You sound great. What am I saying?
Yeah, I think I sound okay. And I miss my usual trust in Masai. So, you know, I threw you off a little bit. I'm your host with COVID, Freddie Rivas. This is my sexy slash super sick voice. This is also my flu game. Maddie, what's up? How you doing? Tell people who you are, you know?
I'm your producer. I'm Matt Duncan, of course. And Fred, I'm doing all right. I hope you're feeling better and hope you're on the upswing soon.
You know, I'm hanging in there, but I can...
For you for not giving up on the pod, you know?
Like, right? Look. I'm not going to do it.
Great.
I'm not going to do it. The doctor called me and told me, you don't do the pod today. And I said... You don't tell me what to do. You know what I mean? My doctor calls me every day. So
nice.
I'm happy to be doing a pod. It actually is going to make me feel better, I'm sure. Even if my voice sounds like it's on death's door, it's not, you know? You know, if you're tuning into the podcast for the first time, we're with Raptors Republic. We're hardcore Raptors fans, analysts, actors, performers. Thanks for joining us. And if people want to help us out, make us big, you know, all that good stuff, how can they do that, Maddie?
Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment, and go over to raptorsrepublic.com. We've got, you know, all our episodes are there. All the other podcasts are there. All the other great articles are there. And then, you know, in our Instagram and our Twitter, we've got all our link trees set up so that you can, you know, navigate, go to the podcatchers, listen to us on the Rapcast, and then, you know, please subscribe and leave a review there too on, you know, Apple, and I think even Spotify does it now.
Hell yeah. Matt, you know, learning every day, even about Spotify. Cheers, buddy. Okay. I think we could probably get this going soon, but, I will say, as I've been saying for a little while now, free BG, Brittany Griner, you know, get informed about the situation if you're unaware. And, I'll also add a little bit, about COVID, you know, avoid it if you can. It is pretty rough. I am a triple vax, but, I'm hanging in there. It's going to be a fun pod. So let's bring on the guests. First guest, I'm super excited to have him. It's his first time on the podcast. I've been reading his work and, listening to him on various podcasts for a long time now. I really appreciate all of his basketball insight. He's a funny dude. He also, has alluded to being really good at chess. So at some point, hopefully we can play chess. I'm sure he's going to crush me, but I love chess and I love playing people who are better than me. So I'm sure it'll be great. Similar to having him on this podcast, I'm really excited about his opinions. So give it up as loud as you can for Raptors Republic. Even if you're at home alone, Lewis Zatzman.
So
sorry, you get music. I don't know if this is like going to stay slow or build up. Okay. Lo-fi jazz beat.
You really have been reading, if you know about the chess, because I try not to repeat my leads all that often, you know, chess now a time, that's not a word, but history then a time. So yeah, that's like, I don't think I've used a chess lead for like a couple years. So that is extremely spot on. I appreciate that.
Oh man, no problem. No problem. I remember you did a podcast with Samson Folk recently talking about, you know, sort of a exponential growth sort of getting slowing down a little bit, and you know, referring to how chess, you know, becomes this really marginal growth at a certain point. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. See, I just black out when I do podcasts, so I have no memory of that, but sounds smart.
Yeah, I know, it was pretty smart, man. Okay, let's bring on guest number two. He's a hilarious dude. I've had him on the podcast a million times. Incredible producer. One of the best improvisers in the entire city of Toronto. And yeah, just a overall great guy. You know, he also knows everything when it comes to the draft. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Matt McCready.
Yes, everybody. I hate chess. I'm a checkers boy. Two-dimensional checkers, not even three-dimensional chess. I go all the way to the basics, baby.
Wow, coming in hot.
Coming in hot, man. It's the Raptors. There's nothing going on. Fabricating energy where none exist.
You know what? That's why I called you today. We need that energy. And how dare you besmirch chess, the beautiful game of chess.
I know the rules of chess, but I know no strategy. I'm sure the two of you would just mop the floor with me. I'd just be like, I'm going to go big with the rook in this one. This is going to be a rook game. The rook's going to take them all out.
Yeah, you can definitely like apply some Vision 6-9 to chess. Be like, listen, I'm going to be all my pieces are rooks.
Totally. The rook is the Kem Birch of the chessboard. Yeah. it's very, very, some very clear limitations, but it does what it does well.
I like it. Okay.
I guess you can say that about every piece on chess, but like that's fine.
Let me say this. How dare you besmirch Kem Birch?
Okay? The rook's not the worst piece. He's not a pawn.
No, it's a great piece. It's a great piece. Okay, let's jump right into it. Matty, good sir. Give me your, you know, weirdest Raptors sting. What it says. Took me 2 years to figure out. Okay, cool. Let's start with you, Lewis. You know, we don't have to do the bottom end of the East, I guess, unless you think the Raptors are there somehow. But very roughly, we're like in terms of tiers, where do you have the Raptors right now?
I'm probably a little high on them. I mean, maybe not too high because they had a pretty awesome season. I think it's reasonable to expect them to be better. Otto Porter is going to make them a little better. Mm-hmm. You expect guys like Scotty will be better, Gary, OG. So I have them in tier two, Milwaukee, Boston, tier one. And I just don't think anybody is like definitively better than Toronto. I think if Fred VanVleet had been healthy, that Sixers series still would have gone another way, which is probably a crazy thing to say, but I'll say it anyway. I have Atlanta in similar tier two, Philadelphia, Miami, couple teams there. It's not like, you know, it's just Toronto there, but man, they're very good, and the East is not that good.
I think I'm fully with you. The Atlanta thing, I'm not sure if I've really thought about Atlanta in tier two. It's a kind of interesting point, but I sort of have Boston and Milwaukee definitively in tier one. You know, I've listened to some people, you know, throw out some convincing arguments to have Philly in that first tier. I think Philly's done a good job in the offseason, but you know, when it comes to the regular season and racking up wins, I do think that this Raptors team is sort of a juggernaut, and they're really giving me bench mob vibes. I think we're gonna get a lot of wins, and I think we're gonna be able to endure injuries well. So I have the Raptors in the second tier as well, sort of with Miami and Philly. But can I get you to elaborate a little bit on Atlanta? Like, what kind of gives you confidence about Atlanta?
So I just wrote a piece about this. Trae Young basically guarantees you're going to have a top five offense. They were the second best half court offense in the league last year. Trey is just so ridiculous at pick and rolls, at shooting, at self-creation, at passing. He's just, he's so insane at offense. And the addition of DeJounte Murray is like perfect in my eyes. They just have not ever had an off ball guard who can take that point of attack defensively. They brought in Chris Dunn, and who lost his season to injury, unfortunately. I really like that addition. And then they just never tried to replicate it, which that was 2 years ago now. And Murray is like even better than Dunn on the defense. Well, he's comparable on the defensive end. He'll be able to really blow up isolations when he switches, or, you know, pick and rolls when he goes over. They're super flexible. They've had one clear weakness defensively, and that's they just couldn't, mop up for Trae Young's weaknesses. Mm-hmm. They had no one who could guard his guy. You know, he was off ball. He wasn't great there. And Kevin Huerter's not who you want guarding pick and rolls anyway. And they finally solved that. So I think that they're just going to be way better than people expect.
I like it. I have to admit, I like to, present myself as a league pass guy. I try to watch every team, try to know the league as much as possible. And Murray is a guy, I just think because of what San Antonio's been doing the past couple of years, I just haven't
being
seen.
Boring.
Yeah, being boring. And, I used to be down with how boring they were. But, I haven't watched enough Murray because I feel like people are really excited about him in general and him on Atlanta. So I think I'm gonna have to make sure, I check that out, especially early in the season as they're coalescing and working on chemistry stuff. But where are you at with the tiers, Matt? Is it similar to us? Is it totally different?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty with you with Atlanta, man. I had DeJounte on my fantasy team last year, and he was the best player in fantasy, which doesn't always mean that you're the best player in the league or even suggest that, although Sean Marion might disagree. I'm pretty with you with Atlanta. I think they could be something special. One thing that they have is that they have a league guard play for 48 minutes, which is, the most important position kind of to have somebody who knows what they're doing. I'm pretty with you with the Raptors. So I'm going to not go with my actual opinions and just mix it up and just say that the Raptors are going to miss the play-in. Ooh.
And nice. Yep.
Here's the reasons why. Yeah, we don't. Do we have a backup point guard, really? Do we have one that Nick Nurse trusts? Because Nick Nurse is going to ride Fred VanVleet 42 minutes a game. Those knees are going to buckle by early December. Christmas, he's going to be wishing that he had a new coach. Oh, too many of the same type of player. Players won't even know who they're passing to. They'll just see the heights of each other on the court. They'll be throwing it all over the place. We have no big center. Christian Coloco, too skinny, man. People are talking about Chet Holmgren. At least Holmgren can play. Coloco can't catch. He can't pass. He can't shoot. The Raptors are screwed. 11th place in the East. A solid, strong 11th place.
Okay. I feel like you came in hard with the comment section energy there. that was
good. But which message board, Freddie? Because I'm not at Raptors Republic. I'm Celtic Pride.
Oh, wow. Celtic Pride. Get out of here. How dare you? It's funny. I know you were joking, but I mean, I was going to actually, I had a question in my head. And Matt, I know we've talked about it a bunch. Like, do we have enough depth where Nurse is going to, play Fred a little bit less? Who is going to fill in the gaps there? I was on Sean Woodley's Locked On Raptors today, and we were kind of talking about Nurse and Masai both saying that last year we weren't really playing for the playoffs. Like, we were kind of playing for the regular season and training, I guess, for years, like this year, next year, to do some real damage. And it should be interesting to see how we do manage Fred's role and his minutes. I know I'm taking your joke and making it a serious point, but.
to actually be serious about what to do with Fred's minutes. So we have they've really doubled down, obviously, with the Juancho Hernan Gomez signing today on the 6'8", 6'9" guys. And so I think to me, the Raptors lineup that was kind of bulletproof, the one that could really fly against almost any team in the league, are the ones where you have 6'8", 6'9" guys across all five of the positions. And now I feel like we are going to see more Pascal at the point guard or as the lead guard position, initiating the offense, passing out of that. Off the bench, you have a great shooter in Otto Porter Jr. You have a great passer if Thad Young, and you have like pure chaos and energy with Boucher. So you have all these ways. Now it's not just the five guys that you can have to throw out there. Now you have options to keep playing that way and not just in a strict kind of way. So I think maybe that will be the solution to that problem, but I guess we'll see.
No, I think it's a good point. I think Lewis, I'll go to you before we move on to the next question. Do you have any, insights about how you think Fred's minutes might be covered, if they're covered? Maybe he leads the league in minutes again.
So I think a couple things about it. I would push back a little that his minutes led to his injuries. Fred has not had a healthy season yet in his career, which sucks. I mean, part of me worries that when we look back on Van Fleet in 20 years, we're going to see a Grant Hill type player where, man, he could have been a year in, year out all-star. And he ended up being very good and elite NBA player, but he could have been something special if he'd just been healthy. And I wonder, because I really do think his finishing, for example, around the rim is really dependent on his knees, his ankles. When he's healthy, which we see usually in the start of every season, he's a very good finisher. He starts out hot, and one mixtape style finisher. And then by the end of the year, he doesn't even attempt layups. He's like not driving. He's not going anywhere near the paint. And it's not minutes. It's the guy is my height. He plays so physical. I mean, he's always throwing his body around. He's under the rim stripping people. He runs some of the most of anyone in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He takes so many hits, sets screens, runs into them. I wish he was built of titanium and able to survive that. But I don't know who could be at that size. It's not realistic. And so I think he'll age gracefully. He'll be a very good player for a long time. I just hope that he'll be an all-star level guy, despite what we've seen on the injury front through his career.
Yeah, fair points. And I feel like, for good reason, Fred is compared to Kyle Lowry quite a bit. But, Kyle Lowry early career was really athletic and could attack the rim like I've never seen Fred do. And I think Fred, conversely, has been like an elite shooter since college. And so that's sort of his super skill. It's a good point. And he puts a lot of torque on his body. I feel like also it's been a narrative at least a couple of times where he's been injured during the playoffs or like leading up to the playoffs.
To look at his minutes per game, like in January, he averaged 40 minutes a game and he played 14 games that month. And then he was pretty much shot for the rest of the year. Like he can't go through a period where he's playing that much again. It's like, it's untenable.
I totally agree. I'm not saying the minutes helped. I just think he probably was gonna like his body was not, doing wonders for him even before January. And I mean, he had that knee injury, I think in the middle of February against New Orleans. Yeah. Right. It did come right after all those minutes, but he's had, his ankles, his knees, his elbows, his back, he's hurt a couple things every year and he has not always played 40 minutes a game.
I think at his best, like with how hard he plays on both ends, he might just be like a 30 minute a play, like a game guy during the regular season. Yeah. Like just play him less than the average player as opposed to the most in the league. It seems like there's gotta be a little trade off there and hopefully we see it this year, but we'll see.
I think, like as far as minutes versus style of play, like there's got to be some, dovetailing there and some, it's got to be a mix of the two. So I feel like how he's used is going to be important. Is it more spot up shooting? Does he focus more on being kind of like a, continuing to enhance his distribution skills, which I think are pretty good, but not like all the way, amazing. But Matt, let's go to you for question number two. I feel like this is, I don't know. It seems like, I don't know if there's a right answer here. I have my answer just, what I think, I guess. But it seems like there is a mini debate going on between, should we start Precious or Gary Trent? And this is, obviously assuming that it's Freddie, Pascal, Scotty, OG, and Precious or Gary. Do you have a preference between the Precious or Gary?
Just based on the players themselves, I'm going to go with Precious. I just think Precious has, I feel like if the Raptors truly want to make a stand this year, Precious is a player that has to break out. So you might as well just ride Precious, see what you have with it. Maybe it doesn't work out and a few weeks in you go with Gary. But I mean, if Precious does hit, if that shooting on that second half of the season is real, and I think we all are not entirely convinced it's for sure for real, it could be. But if it is, then you've got yourself like that guy, that fourth kind of guy in the lineup that can like really kick some ass, or maybe even like the fifth guy. You know, you got Barnes out there. Barnes hits as well. Like, if the Raptors' philosophy is let's play for a championship, then develop the guy who might bring you there. The counter argument maybe for Gary, one of them that's not necessarily even play style, is that, you know, Gary's going into unrestricted free agency this year. Like, do you want to kind of like take Gary's money off of his plate maybe by putting him on the bench, right? Like, I'm sure he wouldn't like that at all. So yeah. I guess that's something to consider from a non-fantasy basketball, non-video game perspective on the situation.
No, that's a great point about Gary. Like, I think, you know, him, like if he's asked to be sixth man, you know, I think fans will be like, oh, cool. Like he'll buy into being Manu Ginobili, but him and his agent will be like, shit, this kind of sucks. And you know, I also think I really like your point about Precious sort of being this, this example of like how good the Raptors can be. For me, I think I still want to start Gary, mostly because I'm just not sure about his shot selection on the bench. Like I totally get the idea that it's like, okay, he's the guy on the bench. He's the green light. You know, he can just, you know, fire away. But I feel like with Barnes, with Pascal, and also with the two other shooters, OG and Fred, you're going to get better shots for Gary as a starter. So that's sort of where I'm at there. But again, like, I feel like I could go both ways on this because, yeah, just how good is Precious? Like, you know, is he about to have like a most improved player type season? Maybe that's more important than like making sure Gary is happy.
Yeah, but who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a fun dance. And you know, again, Gary's had a bunch of like, you know, 30, 40 point games. So it's hard for a guy like that to go to the bench. But yeah, where the teams, you know, there's a lot of talent here. So, okay. So where are you at, Lewis? Gary, yeah, or Precious?
You guys make a ton of really good points. The only thing I'd add is the Raptors are one of the only teams in the modern era that can win games without shooters. They're so bad at shooting. And Gary is one of the only guys who's been able to anchor an offense by just standing outside the arc. Yeah. Like, he had the second best offensive on-offs on the team behind Pascal. Like, better than Fred, even. And that's because his shooting was just so unbelievably crucial. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I actually agree with you, Matt, that Precious is a better player already. And has the potential to be just there are no words for how good he might become if everything hits right. It's unspeakable.
This is truly a Raptors podcast. There are no words for where Precious Achiuwa could go.
There is no ceiling, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think he helps the team as much in 2022-23 as does Gary. And so are you trying to just say, look, we're going to make our players as good as they can be, develop our guys, you know, we'll give Delano a ton of minutes, Scotty can just run wild with the offense. Are you saying let's win games? I think let's win games. And in that case, Gary probably starting is best for winning games, which just is a commentary as much on Pascal not being a great pull-up shooter and Fred not being great at pressuring the rim and, you know, OG not being a good pull-up shooter. It's because of the limitations of the rest of the team that Gary helps the team more. If you were a normal basketball team, I think Precious would be a more important guy to start. But the Raptors aren't normal.
No, and
they need to scheme around that.
Yeah, yeah. Great points. And I feel like, you know, when Gary's talked to, like when people talk about trading Gary, I always sort of say in my head, like, okay, but if we trade Gary, I think like we need to trade him for another Gary.
Yeah, then who's Gary?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of like we, you know, and that's why I was so, you know, just excited and over the top on this Otto Porter signing, because I feel like he's not, like, he's more of a, like, a kind of stand and shoot guy, but the shooting on this team is, you know, to your point, Lewis, we're one of the only teams that can beat teams without shooting. But I feel like this Raptors team is going to have, like, is going to be comfortable at all, they're going to have to blow some teams out sometimes. And shooting needs to be a part of that. Like, we have to have a couple games where people are hot and people can get a rest and, you know, we can let the bench go crazy. And yeah, Gary's just so vital to what we do as a shooter and as a guy to kind of, like, give in a late shot clock scenario too, who can, you know, kind of take it off the bounce and, like, do you know, I'll hit some crazy shots too that just frustrate the other team.
Winning is so easy when you hit more threes than the other team. Raptors fans don't know this. If you watch other teams, you know this, but the Raptors win hard, man. It is not easy the way they win basketball games. And if they just had more guys who could hit threes, which Otto Porter, exciting, it's like, yeah, winning games doesn't have to be so hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, that sounds simplistic, but it's also, like, such just, like, a basic truth of, like, of the league right now. And of this, like, I don't know, like, the Raptors brass is definitely taking, like, the road less traveled here, you know? Like, we're doing something.
We're going down that road with Orlando, man. Us and Orlando.
Right? Wait, us and Orlando?
Yeah, the two teams that don't like shooting threes.
Oh, okay, yep. Okay. I was like, don't, you know. I get the
Jeff Weltman. Yeah.
I was going to say, the Jeff Weltman connection I get, but, like, I don't know if I want to be compared to Orlando anymore. I feel like we've gotten past that, but, you know.
Remember when everyone thought Jonathan Isaac was just going to become Pascal Siakam?
What?
That was the thing, like, in 2019-ish?
I would take Pascal Siakam over Jonathan Isaac as an author, even at this point.
Yeah, totally. He's a good
author.
Well, he's got the worst politics in the NBA, at least in my opinion.
I would definitely take Pascal as a religious figure because Jonathan Isaac, like, preaches, right? And Pascal went to seminary school, I believe. So there's some.
Oh, that is cool.
I like it. I like that. You know, we're still like being a Raptors pod here, and that Pascal can beat Jonathan Isaac in any category. Like, it's like,
to be fair to Jonathan Isaac as a player, like, he's had no chance to develop as a player due to his injuries. Like, maybe he would have become something quite good. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he will be good. He's not the same as Pascal in any way. They're very different players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, I always say it with Pascal, but I feel like his development is just so non-linear and different than, like, other guys we've seen. And it's hard to compare him because he's a really, really unique and special talent. And, you know, even in that Tampa year, which was so rough for so many reasons, he was sort of refining some of that, like, those passing skills and just kind of quick decision making. And, you know, I was talking about this earlier as well, but even the idea of Pascal's, like, clutchness is sort of, you know, sometimes not portrayed properly because he just does a lot of different things. Like, he might get a clutch steal or, you know, make a big defensive play in crunch time, but, you know, not necessarily hit, like, the fadeaway three.
I did like his shooting in that Philly series, though. That was the first time where he looked confident taking shots in the playoffs in a very long time. Like, just the confidence level to pull up, and he just had a swagger that wasn't there before. He seemed way more comfortable in the playoffs this year.
He got better in the playoffs. That matters.
Yeah. Great point. He did get better in the playoffs, and I feel like, you know, there's a chance, and, you know, knock on wood, but I think he's headed for his third all NBA, you know,
maybe first team.
I mean, first team.
Lots of injuries. we don't know what might happen.
This is a Raptors pod. First team, you know, we'll see. But
man, if it's first team, though, we're in for a fun year, guys.
If
the Raptors. Know, remember when they were the second best team in the league in 2019-20 and he still wasn't first team. We were surprised he was second team all NBA that year. Everyone's like, maybe third team was appropriate. First team's a tough ask.
Yeah. I mean, Norman Powell had a Mike James year that year. He was unbelievable.
Yeah. Never stopped. He still makes every three he shoots.
I love Norm.
Yeah. Shout out to Norm, understanding the grind. Best, weirdest branding. Understanding the grind is like, it's a nice long sentence, you know, as far as like a, it's not simple. You know what I mean? You got to really think about like, what's the grind? What is understanding it? Okay, maybe this is COVID talking. I'm getting loopy.
No, you are completely right. That is a bogus slogan. And I love Norm.
It's a thinker, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very social capital theater.
Yeah, it is. Okay, let's talk some NBA.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Maddie, I'm going to get you to come in for this next segment too. So please start us off by giving us, I hope it's a Weird Al thing again. Just give us your silliest NBA sting.
This is Adam Silver.
Great.
Yeah.
I love how Matt made that up. He still loves it, you know?
Like he deserves to. That's genius.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like with my fading voice today, I got that Weird Al, like the "This is Adam Silver, ha ha." It's good because it's a joke that barely makes sense, and it's Weird Al, and then he's saying the words honk honk. It's on.
Do you remember that Raptors game like 15 years ago where Jack Armstrong lost his voice during the game and they replaced him?
Yes. He left at halftime, and I sound like that right now, but he was doing the like, get that garbage out of here. Like,
it was so funny.
Yeah. His voice, it was like hanging on by a thread. And Matt Devlin had that game too, right? Last year, where it was early in the season. Cause I remember poor Alvin Williams. He was like, Alvin Williams, I need you to carry me. And then Alvin Williams was very much like, I'm not ready yet. Don't leave me.
That was like asking Coloco to run the point one game. It's just like not a great idea where they are experience wise.
Okay, let's.
So hard on Coloco.
What's that, man?
So hard on Coloco. I love it, Matt.
I love Coloco. I'm sorry. I shouldn't throw so much hate at Coloco.
It is a bystander.
Let's be honest. We don't want Coloco running the point. I don't think that's too outrageous a take.
Coloco's going to walk into the OVO Center and demand to run point. He's going to take the ball off Fred and say, like, just like, if you can steal it from me, then you get to be point. And you know, I'm pretty sure day one we're gonna have Coloco starting at point, and probably shoot 10 threes a game. Okay, I think I killed that joke. Sorry. this is just a classic jersey question. All right, so the Pistons are bringing back teal, which maybe excites you guys, maybe it doesn't. But you know, I'm just I'm curious what you guys think. Like, what's a jersey that you want to change? So either you want to bring back a throwback jersey from a different team, or you just want to redesign. There's lots of good jerseys out there, but there's some stinkers. So let's go to you first. Matt. What's the jersey you want to change?
Oh, me, Matt.
Yeah, sorry, Matt McCready. My bad.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a change, but I'm always like very interested in the ABA and namely the Spirits of St. Louis, just because I think it's the most badass name in like all of pro sports, and they only had like a 2 or 3 year run. So I wouldn't mind if like any team, like what's a team kind of near St. Louis, maybe like Memphis or something, just threw on some throwback Spirits of St. Louis jerseys. Maybe, you know, just throw it, like get them out there. I guess like the Pacers, the Nets could really throw it out there. So that would be my choice. Get some ABA in there.
Okay. I like it. Could Classy bring back Spirit of St. Louis? That is a great name.
Oh man. And it's like, it's not like the Thunder or something. It's like an actual thing. You could say like, I'm a spirit, you know, you get vodka ads, you know, it
sure.
It writes itself. Yeah.
Need those vodka ads.
You need those vodka ads.
Yeah.
Because gambling is so classy.
Yeah. Let's make a switch to alcohol. Let's class up the league a little bit. Lewis, what's your jersey replacement? Like what's the team and what's the new jersey?
Okay. So this is going to sound like kind of a dick answer, but it's the one I had prepared. I'm not intentionally, you know, attacking the previous one. I think there's too much nostalgia in jersey design today.
Yeah, fair.
Although the Spirit of St. Louis would be incredible, but I think in general teams do way too much looking back, and any new jersey is basically just like, you know, a graphic designer making the cleanest lines they possibly can, which is what all the Raptors jerseys are now. They all look nice, but like, I don't know, if you were to go to sleep for a year and not watch basketball, and then you woke up and someone's like, can you tell me about any of the Raptors jerseys from the last time you watched? You would have no idea what they were. They're not memorable. And so what I would suggest is innovating forward, not back, not looking backwards at the past. Do something weird, not, you know, not just as clean as possible. Maybe dig into a new theme, like horror. You could get a scary thing going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was not what I prepared. That was a terrible idea.
That's a terrible idea. A raptor eating a man alive on the jersey? That would be amazing.
Now we're talking.
This is good. This is good stuff. No, we need things to be reimagined. And I agree. I feel like, you know, sometimes nostalgia, and trust me, as a question writer, I don't feel attacked because, you know, the jerseys, they're too safe. A lot of jerseys, I feel like, and even you know, sports names where people try and make something that's scary, it, to me, is always kind of like, what are you doing? Like, let's be a bit silly. This is sports. I'm also a big fan of like soccer jerseys, so I like tacky jerseys, weird colors. Mine is I'll let you go first, Matty D. So I'll save mine for last, not because it's the best, but just because.
It's a banger. I can't wait for
you. Mine's going to be crazy. Although, wait, Lewis, was that it for you? Sorry, I feel like we jumped on you.
I said more than I even had to say.
Okay, Matty D, what's up?
Okay, this is getting more elaborate in my head as time goes on, but.
Okay, I need you to relax, Matty. This is going to be okay.
No.
Okay.
Have another hit of peyote and then we're going to hit us with this idea.
Interesting you say that, Matt.
It shouldn't be.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the Golden State Warriors. Now, I don't hate their jerseys. There's something about them that I find kind of pleasing with the blue and the yellow. But, you know, since they moved from Oakland to San Francisco, I don't know if they're really living up to that Warrior name anymore. In Oakland, they were. San Francisco... Warriors in San Francisco? I don't know, folks, because...
No way.
I've only seen Full House. I watched Milk
only
once.
Only seen Full House.
Only thing like you've ever watched.
This is my reference point for San Francisco. And look, Uncle Danny, rest in peace, but like, I don't know if you're quite a warrior. So this is what I would like as just to really brand them into the Warrior name now that they're in San Francisco. What I want to do is, okay, I'm going to take you to Burning Man. Okay. So at end of August, if you haven't got your tickets yet, I think it's the end of August, right around the time where you might start thinking about a preseason game or something like that. They apparently burn this big thing at the end of the event to the Burning Man.
Sure.
At the bottom of what they're burning, I want a basketball court. Okay. So when this thing burns down, all that's left is a burnt basketball court. And when they clean up and they do their Burning Man thing and everything's gone, all that's left is that court ready to play. And then I want the Warriors to come in and their jerseys are going to be Mad Max kind of themed. I want to see Draymond in like a World War II gas mask or whatever they wear in those movies. Another thing I haven't seen, but you know, I'm familiar with the style. So
those
movies, like I want more dust in Golden State. So
yeah,
let's do a couple of games here on the embers of the Burning Man. If you want to do peyote as a fan and watch it, that's totally fine. We are in the desert, lots of cacti. And I just feel like they need to own the Warriors thing a little bit more in San Francisco.
I just love how this started from Full House. From Full House to Burning Man is a perfect journey.
Those who are watching on YouTube, Matt is shirtless and smothered in mud.
It's also the perfect metaphor. Just set a shitload of garbage on fire.
Yeah.
And just see what happens at the bottom. That's San Francisco.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, and you know, come on. I'm a big Mad Max fan. We'll get some beyond Thunderdome vibes for the Warriors. That could be fun. mine is just the Minnesota Timberwolves. Listen, what is a Timberwolf? I Googled it before the podcast. It's an Eastern wolf. I guess a wolf that lives in timber. I understand that they've had jerseys with a wolf on them in the forest. That's not enough to me. Okay. I feel like you need to have, you gotta have something cooler. And at one point they had like a highlighter yellow jersey, which was just so tacky and like offensive on the eyes. And I think they should go somewhere in the direction of like a wolf in the sun, or maybe just like eyes glowing in the dark. I feel like they've had some version of that. I know I was criticizing earlier, you know, anything that's like scary. So maybe it's just like a really like happy wolf.
like glowing eyes.
Eyes glowing in the dark.
God.
Smizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a smizing wolf. That's really what I want at the end of the day. Okay. You know, I should have saved Matt's for last because mine was barely a journey.
Can I have one more offer out there? Can I throw one more thing? So I hate the Oklahoma City Thunder as a name. So what if we just call them the Oklahoma City Skins and have no jersey? They just play shirtless. Shirts versus skins.
I think the players would love that. And they'd be very mad at you.
Is their number like a henna tattoo on their back? Or do they just have to get a full tattoo?
Numbers on the body, yeah.
You know what? I think we've gone too far astray. We're talking about tattooing players.
Where would all the liquor commercials go if not on the jersey?
Yeah. Oh, so now
they
you have
can
to
come
have
out holding a bottle drinking of their favorite spirit.
Yeah, they just have to hold the bottle during like the anthem or the starters. The starters. What am I talking about? Like, you know, when they introduce the starters.
The introductions.
Yeah, the introductions. Thank you.
You're doing the best you can, baby. You're being attacked.
Yeah, I'm being attacked by my own ideas and my own body. Okay, last question here. Let's go to you first, Matt. I'm curious where you guys' answers are going to fall. Just because I think it's largely a perception-based question. But, you know, with this Jaylen Brown, Durant stuff, you know, who knows how mad Jaylen Brown actually is. But, you know, he tweeted out the, like, shake my head stuff about the rumor of him being offered for Durant. I mean, obviously Boston, I think it makes sense for them to offer, you know, whatever, Brown and a first pick for Durant. But it just, you know, it brought me back to the whole like Isaiah Thomas situation and, you know, sort of what players think about franchises and like what the brotherhood of the NBA, like who they respect the most and, you know, where they want to play, not just in terms of destination, but in terms of like the players being treated well. You know, there's a long list of owners and ownership groups that are kind of, they've been crappy to players over you know, the NBA history. But yeah, in your opinion, Matt, what is a team that sort of is has like a good reputation with players?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Raptors are right up there, obviously. You know, they definitely would be like top three or five. I think it would have to be probably something. I want to say the Spurs. I feel like the Spurs might be there. There's such a good culture there. There's like the former players love the place. But I think I probably have to go with Miami. Everyone wants to go to Miami all the time. Like the proof is in the pudding. People, I know it's Miami. It's like the place itself is definitely a huge part of people wanting to sign there. But I also think that it's just like an organization that no one really raises an eyebrow at. They seem to really push their players into a good place, and people always want to go there.
Yeah, no, good point. You know, Pat Riley, and I think they also develop well, right? The Raptors and Raptors fans and analysts sort of always talk about how good the Raptors are developing. And I think Miami is definitely a team that also develops well. Shout out Max Strus and people like that, you know, Gabe Vincent, like they're good. They're good at what they do. And, you know, I don't hope for their success, but I think Miami's a good answer. Lewis, who's your like most beloved, not yeah. Or, you know, a place that players like.
Yeah, so it's a really good question, but I think the answer and the Miami is one of the two, really only two possibly correct answers, really shows that players don't care about what we think they care about, because it's the Lakers, right? Players love the Lakers, agents love the Lakers.
Yeah,
it's legacy, and the Lakers have made as many mistakes as they possibly can over the last several years. They've bungled everything that could be bungled, and then some things that couldn't have been bungled, and they still did it. They are horrible. They don't develop their guys. They trade away their youths. They're a bad franchise, and yet they are the franchise that that players and agents love the most. I would say the Lakers, which is unfortunate because the Raptors, as you said, you know, correctly, one of the best few teams that they treat people right. They develop them well. They have this great relationship. You know, familial atmosphere. Masai Ujiri is wonderful at, you know, understanding that there's more to life than basketball, and being really good at those off-court things, using his platform for good. All that hasn't brought any superstars to Toronto who want to play here, sign free agency. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have none of those things, and they get all the stars. So the Lakers.
I think, yeah, you guys both nailed it. I added like a cutesy answer, which I now feel is for sure wrong because they don't attract
the Nuggets.
No, I was going to say that I feel like the Grizzlies have fostered like a good culture, you know, sort of because of the Gasols, and, you know, they seem to have a good reputation of like people not demanding trades. But also, you know, when it comes to the offseason, you don't have players lining up to want to play for the, I think, the smallest market in the league. And, you know, they don't want to. And Lewis, I think you hit it with players don't, they don't want to do what we as fans think they should do, sort of thing. And yeah, I think California outnumbers like NBA output, you know, it's more than most countries. Right. So that's where players are familiar with. They want to play there. I think even the Clippers have sort of, they don't have the legacy thing going, but like they seem to be turning a corner of like a place.
Well, it's LA,
right?
If you could be a multimillionaire, young, I don't know your guys, if you could be 22 worth tens of millions of dollars living in LA, that sounds pretty nice.
Yeah,
I think when you reach a certain level of fame, you don't want to be the most famous person out there, you know, like you want to have some people you want to meet people who are more famous than you, and you want to be able to go down a street and not have everyone look in your direction because there's 20 other people to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you're, you know, the most famous rich person in Utah, then yeah, it's not going to be the same experience as it is in like Miami or LA. And I think that's why like players and NBA, you know, insiders have sort of been pushing for a Vegas team for a long time, because I think that players would want to play there and they would want to be in Vegas.
New York was just warm.
If New York was warm, yeah.
And I never critique anyone for wanting to spend the winters in California or Florida. It's like, dear God, if I had millions of dollars, I'll come visit Toronto in the summer, you know?
This man can't even afford sleeves.
No, I play basketball immediately after the game because I respect the grind. Or what's that?
You understand the grind.
I understand the grind. Basketball podcast followed by basketball.
You know what? Wear sleeves to basketball.
Yeah, yeah. No sleeves allowed. No, it's because if you've never played basketball with Matt Lewis, and I don't think you have, he shoots it like Boucher. He's got a full over the head lob, and he's a really good shooter. It looks like a stunt shot, but it basically goes in all the time. So shout out to you, Matt, for
that's tantalizing. I want to see that now.
It's pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie.
I did an audition where I had to like pretend to play basketball for it, and I was like looking at the tape. It's like, I don't look like I know how to play basketball at all. It looks like I just picked like the two times someone who would throw that shot up would possibly be able to go in. I didn't get a call back.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's way too unconventional. Don't call him back, and also ban him. No sleeves.
Yeah, I'm no longer welcome at man casting. It's been a dark couple weeks for me.
Can we get another take where you know how to play basketball? Or
yeah, shoot like a normal person with one hand?
Nope, can't do it.
Let's get a take where you wear sleeves this time.
It's funny because I take so much shit about for wearing shorts on improv. It's very funny that I'm now taking crap for wearing no sleeves during a podcast. I'll see what dress codes I could break on things that seemingly have no dress code later.
I took some shit last week for wearing shorts in a comedy show, and people were like, I'd never do it. And I was like, well, I don't know what to say. It's hot. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I've got great legs.
Why wouldn't people wear shorts at a comedy show?
I don't know. I feel like if it's like a corporate or like a business one, sure, maybe, you know, you're not wearing shorts. But I mean, yeah, that was my take, Lewis. I was like, listen, there's rules here. What's going on?
It's not considered professional. And also for like improv, the idea is that you can like swing between all these different people and personas. So to have shorts negates that to a certain degree. But I would argue, you know, having a beard would negate that as well. You know, like anything can negate that. Anywho.
Also, if you're not wearing shorts, you can't swing to a person that's wearing shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well said.
Thank you.
And what do you mean professional? I've taken so many shots with comics at their shows. What is this nonsense about being professional?
Yeah, seriously. I, you know what? I'm gonna the comedian who told me that, I'm gonna punch him in the face.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling better, I'm gonna be like, guess what? My friends thought it was funny, but I said I was gonna punch you in the face. So check this out.
You're on notice, Meredith Mullen. Freddie Rivas is coming for you.
That's right. Okay, guys, that's it for the pod. Thank you both so much for joining and for, you know, helping to carry me through this episode. Let me go to you first, Lewis. Obviously, 538, Raptors Republic. But, you know, where can people find you? You know, what do you want them to read? What do you want to let people know?
Yeah, your voice sounds better, by the way. I think this has been good for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
What do I got?
Come back.
I read for a new place called The All-Star. That's where that piece about the Atlanta Hawks was, about Murray. a lot of Raptors Republic right now. Not a lot of places want basketball stories during the summer. So props to RR for keeping it going.
Yep. Cool. And Maddie, what's up? I know you got your shows at SoCap going, but what do you want to let people know? Where can they find you?
Yeah, I got this weekly gig selling soup at Dundas Square, cream of mushroom soup. Okay. It's for 1 hour a week, 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays. Come on by, a.m. So if you want to start your day off right with a big bowl of soup, come to Dundas Square.
Cream of mushroom in July? Hard pass, Matt.
It's pretty hot. Pretty hot soup.
Yeah, come get some scalding hot soup. Cream of mushroom.
You'll have to let it sit in that hot sun for a while before you can sip that soup.
Yeah,
you have 20 minutes. We don't supply spoons.
Wow. That sounds like a true waking nightmare. And shame on you for doing that at all. Okay, guys. Again, thank you so much. Thank you, Maddie. Thanks for everyone who's listening and supporting. And, you know, like, follow, subscribe. Hit us up at Raptors Republic. And Maddie, if you feel like we're done, we're good to go, please just give me those words I love so much. Okay.
Okay. Listen to full episodes of the Confederacy of Dunks only on the Rapcast.